Amen. Please sit for the epistle.
The reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, starting at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they... There was a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Father, give us ears to hear your word and wills to obey for Jesus' sake. Amen. I had a job this week deciding what passage I was going to speak on, because they're both such lovely passages. And during the week, I was reading in the Church Times, as I do sometimes, the report on the General Synod. And I came across the presidential address from the Archbishop of York. And he was urging the people in Synod to take Scripture seriously, to be very careful with Scripture, and to read it. But then he said, "If you build your Christian life upon Scripture, you will dry up. If you build your Christian life solely on the Holy Spirit, you will blow up. If you build your Christian life on Scripture and the Holy Spirit, you will grow up. And I thought, how sensible and good that was. Probably why he's an archbishop, isn't it? But anyway, it just rang bells with the Ephesians parish passage that we've just had read by Caroline. And I thought, well, maybe that's the one to talk about this morning. May help. It's a very dense passage, this. It's really only 7 verses, but there's an awful lot in it. So it may help, if you want to look at it in your Bibles. It's page 950 of the Pew Bibles. And it's mostly a prayer of St. Paul for the Christians in Ephesus. He says at the start of this passage in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." Well, what reason? We didn't hear it in our lesson today. The reason he wants to pray so hard for them is because of what he said in chapters 2 and 3. He's been describing the work of Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection, the forgiveness that is ours through that, and the new society that is coming into being because of what Christ has done, the church. And so he says, for this reason, because I've been saying that, I want to pray for you, that it really will have some work in your lives. And so what follows is the prayer of St. Paul, which is what I mainly want to talk about. And I was greatly helped by John Stott's commentary on this, where he talks of this part of Paul's prayer like a staircase with 4 steps taking us up higher in our desire to learn about God and to follow him. And so I'm going to follow that sort of pattern with 4 steps. And the 4 steps here are in the different verses. In verse 16, the end of 16, he prays for strength for them. In verse 17, at the end of that we would be grounded in love. In verse 18, step 3, that we will understand, that we will comprehend how great is God's love. And then the verse 19, the 4th step, that we will be filled with all the fullness of God. It's an amazing prayer, and amazing if we think what this means for us as Christians. So we start with that first one. That God may grant that you be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit. Well, what's our inner being? How do you view your inner being? Well, I like to think of it as, you know me, I like to think of things very simply. I like to think of it as our conscience and our will. And I think that sort of sums up how we are inside. A conscience, that we may be strengthened to know what is right and what is wrong. To know what God's will is for us and for the church here. And then to be strengthened in the will to do it. Strengthened in our consciences. You know those times when somebody has said something a bit hurtful to you and immediately something comes on your tongue and a little voice in your head says, no, don't say that. Don't do that. That'll just make it worse. And then we need the strength of our wills to obey that little voice. So being strengthened in our inner spirit, I think, is working on that, asking God to really make us strong, to listen to what is right and wrong, and then
to help us to do it. But he then says, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Note that word dwell. Not that he's going to come and go. He's going to take up residence. That's what dwelling means. He's going to come as a permanent resident in our lives. And Paul links the two things here, Christ and the Holy Spirit. Nowhere do we find Paul separating the persons of the Trinity. If we have Christ, we have his Holy Spirit, dwelling forever in our hearts. And that's very important to remember when these temptations do come, as I know only too well that they do come. So he prays that we will be strengthened in our inner being as Christ dwells in our hearts. And the second step, verse 17, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Love is our supreme work as followers of Jesus. It was his supreme work. It's what took him to the cross. And it's our supreme work as we follow him. But note, rooted, roots grow. Roots don't just stay static. David grows streptocarpus plants. I always think that sounds more like a dreaded disease than a plant. But he's just done one. You grow the roots from the leaf. I'm right, aren't I? Yes, he's nodding. And you put the leaf in some water and watch the roots grow. But that's only the beginning. Then it's got to become a plant, and it's got to go on growing. So when he says rooted and grounded, although that sounds very solid and still, it's actually something that's going to go on and on in our lives. And that gives me enormous encouragement when I fail. That yes, it's a growing thing. It's going to grow. And the more we know about God and Jesus and his Holy Spirit working in us, the more we will be rooted and grounded. And then we find new ways of loving. I read this week. David and I pray for CMS through their prayer lines. And one morning in the week, there was this little bit about a couple who are helping to train people in North Africa for mission. And Jay, they have to use not their proper names because of security reasons. A Niger national and mission leader was awoken abruptly by a phone call. His church had been set on fire by a mob. He leapt out of bed, rapidly grabbing a few essentials, as he silently thanked God for his wife and children being away. And he sped to the church, casting fearful glances behind him. 30 houses in the capital that day were looted, burned, and destroyed, and at least 10 people died during the violence. We were sobered to hear firsthand the challenges facing many in the region. After he shared his story, another leader made a short but powerful comment. While our immediate response to such situations is naturally anger, if you want to make an impact for eternity, love someone when they least expect it and when they least deserve it. The high calling for our friends in Niger is not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil by good, extending forgiveness and kindness. And then he testified to the fruit of this attitude. In the immediate aftermath of the violence, prominent Christians publicly forgave their Muslim neighbors. One of Jay's neighbors repented to him, explaining that at first she had rejoiced to see the churches burning. However, the forgiveness she saw later broke her, and she repented of it. So love can do wonderful things, and perhaps when people are least expecting it. But step three, step three, we move on to know or to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love. You know that lovely chorus, Jesus' love is very wonderful. So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get round it. Wonderful love. God's love is so wide to encompass all of us, everyone. From the very beginning to the very end of time, his love can encompass us all. It's so long. It stretches to eternity and will never stop. It's so high. It lifts us up to heaven. And some of us are getting nearer that every day. And so deep, it can reach the lowest and deepest sin to forgive. And there are two keys to this here, I think. We need to work on the love of Christ. We need to enjoy it, to share it, and to take time just to bask in the love of God. I can imagine our family saying to us, "What are you doing?" "I'm basking." But there's a lovely... No, I mustn't stop to do that. There's, time is rushing on. But the other key here is those words, with all the saints. We learn the love of God together. As individuals, yes, but as together as well. Our first impression when we came to St. John's, David and me, was the love you showed us. And we've never forgotten it. And the love you showed one another. You care for one another. And that is something that must go on growing and growing. But your love encompassed us. We're vital together. We need to recognize that and not let it slip away. Going back to John Sentamu's presidential address. One Christian on their own can easily be hurt and perhaps fall. A whole lot of Christians together can't be torn apart. Well, I thought if he could do it in Synod, I could do it here at St. John's. But that's so important for us, isn't it, that we do stand together and we do learn this love of Christ together. And then he ends this prayer, not quite ending, but nearly ending, the fourth step, with something quite amazing. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that just boggles my mind, that I can really have within me all the fullness of God. But it is what Scripture says. It's what St. Paul is praying for us, that our love will overflow because there is so much love. It doesn't often feel like that, but just occasionally I feel like that, and I hope we all do. But filled up to the brim with his love, so that it runs over to each other and hopefully outside to our community in Locks Heath, so that others can feel it too. So, he prays that we'll be strong in our inner being, that we will be rooted and grounded in his love, that together we will know the whole dimension of his love, so that we may be filled with the whole fullness of God. And then he sums up his prayer in this wonderful doxology, and with this I'll finish. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.